Planet. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, along with the founder of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, Martin Patella. Hey, Martin, how are you doing today?
Doing good. It's summer. I feel vigorous and good about my life anyway.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. What's been happening?
You know, a couple of days ago, a friend of mine calls me. This is a man I've been close to, especially through the 1980s and 90s. We've been friends for a long time. He called and he says, "So, Martin, it's confirmed. I have prostate cancer. What do you suggest I do?"
Wow.
And, you know, like, as all of us, we have the reaction to the word cancer, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty much a foregone conclusion that that's something you're going to die of. We just don't know how quick.
Yeah.
Of course, that the programming that the society, the culture gives you. You know, some people are able to put it off for a while. Well, actually, when it comes to men's prostate cancer, I told him, "Listen, don't panic. This is the slow burn. You will probably die of heart disease or tiredness before you die of prostate cancer. But all the same, it should be something looked after."
Right, right. The first thing that occurred to me when I heard you say that was the first answer would be, well, why did you wait till you had the cancer before you did something?
You know, that's a fantastic question. And, you know, there were warning signs, because I remember he talked to me about this maybe 7-8 years ago, and he was reporting that his sexual interest or ability was down. You know, he loved going out with women, and he went down dancing, and he'd... he cuddled and whatever, but getting an erection was something that just wouldn't happen.
Wow.
So he was pretty much done with that thing. And that was like, you know, he was in his 50s. I think he's 60-something now. And I'm thinking, well, you know, back then I just didn't want to interfere or didn't feel like it was my place to try and convince him that he should maybe consider this a warning sign. He was actually reasonably happy about it, thinking or saying that, well, I don't even have to be bothered with this nonsense anymore.
Bothered with what nonsense?
Well, sexual activity.
Oh, that man. That's a sad statement.
I don't know, you know, like if I don't know what to speculate, but all the same, it was a warning sign. We should have just picked up on it and said, "Listen, if you have erection dysfunction, erectile, it's called dysfunction, you need to do something about it, because it's not just some isolated little problem. It's just the tip of an iceberg. It's related to so many other things."
Right, right. That absolutely is. So,
but, when that was 10 years ago. That was 10 years ago. This is not before I actually was as well educated about holistic healing as I am today.
Mm-hmm. So with the knowledge that you've got now and the experience that you've got now, what would you say to somebody that came up to you and said, "You know, I know it's late. I haven't been maybe looking after myself as well as I should for the last 50-odd years, but I want to turn over a new leaf. Where do you start?"
Yes, so I went ahead to explain how cancer happens in the body. Number one, absence of iodine.
Mm.
This is classic. In women, it shows up first as PMS, later as fibrocystic breasts, and later as breast cancer and ovarian cancer. In men, it shows up as not as much energy, later as erectile dysfunction, and later yet has prostate cancer. And the ridiculous, abominable RDA for iodine is set so low, only to the level that will prevent goiter. Well, preventing goiter, that's like way down, you know, like you're just barely not dying or not creating a serious health problem.
Right.
And that's what they say. Well, that's the recommended daily dose. That's sort of like saying, listen, yes, the tires in your car, they should be 32 pounds, but you can actually drive on 12 pounds of pressure too.
Right.
So 13 pounds is enough. It's that sort of stupidity that this government puts out. But anyway, so iodine, that's the first thing. You absolutely have to raise the level. And so
how much iodine should someone have in their diet, or let's say they supplement it on a daily basis? Because it's one thing to say more iodine, but like
what's
how
that
much?
Mean?
Yeah, like I don't even know what the minimum would be.
Well, there are two ways to go about iodine. One is the natural way from seaweed, something like, you know, we for instance sell a product called Sea Plant Minerals, and you would be needing to take about 3 capsules a day. That would cost you about $17 a month at the current prices.
Yeah, and each capsule is 4 milligrams because I take it.
Yes.
And here's the wild thing. I've never looked at this before. So in the Vickery Sea Plant Minerals and Glyconutrients,
yes,
iodine, 4 milligrams, that is 2,667% of the daily value.
Right.
So basically,
that's 25 times or 26 times as much as what they recommended.
Yeah. And so I'm going, oh my goodness, that's amazing.
Yeah, but contemplate this. A typical Japanese person ingests 100 times the RDA every day.
Yeah, wow.
Why do they do that? Well, they live by the sea. They eat a lot of seaweed, you know, nori and other things. You know, it's just, you know, they put seaweed into the miso soup. They wrap seaweed around their sushi things and, you know, every which way. And they also take kelp and fertilize their gardens with it. So not only do they eat the kelp directly, they actually eat it indirectly through the vegetables that they grow in their gardens.
Right.
And this is phenomenal because, you know, vegetables that have been fertilized using rich sea minerals grow big, strong, and healthy. So anyway, that's one. The other way is to do the iodine tincture. We sell a product called Ceodine, which is from the atomidine or atomic iodine or nascent iodine family. There are several names that people have started coming up with for this specific iodine. Iodine tends to go molecular, the same way as oxygen would do. You know, like oxygen O2, you don't find O1. Out there, you'll find O3, which is ozone, but you don't find just a loose oxygen atom by itself.
Right.
Yes, that's what you need in order to have oxygen reactions. So you would like to have ozone or hydrogen peroxide or some other oxygenating agent. Similarly with iodine, it naturally tends to be an I2. We have the tincture in which it is in atomic state, but you cannot mix it with other things. You need to ingest it, or within 10 minutes that thing has gone molecular and becomes stable, not as readily available to the body. So anyway, the Ceodine that we sell, again, $20 for about a 1 month supply. You take a few drops, 2 to 10 drops a day, and narrowly go forward. I just thought of something, you know, like iodine is so much more visible. Iodine deficiency is so much more visible with women. It causes miscarriages. It causes low birth weight and low intelligence in children. And even premature death in infants. So, you know, when women are deficient in iodine, all complications relating to pregnancies and after pregnancies are much more accentuated.
Right, right.
Yeah, anyway, I'm not going to go into that sidebar.
Because we're focusing on the prostate today. But here are basically two inexpensive, I mean extremely inexpensive ways to get all the iodine you need into your body.
Right.
It's going to have a huge impact on your body's ability to be healthy.
Right. So in presence of sufficient iodine, cancer will not develop. Full statement. The second thing, the other thing that is required for cancer to develop is absence of oxygen or reduced access to oxygen. And we have talked about this issue in previous podcasts, but perhaps worth reviewing. When there is less oxygen available to the cell, it will switch from oxygenation to fermentation. This is the same thing that happens to grapes when you're trying to make wine. You know, when you put the bubbler into the bottle, which means that you allow the carbon dioxide to escape, but you stop oxygen from coming in, you enter the fermentation cycle and you will be manufacturing alcohol.
Yeah.
If you do allow oxygen access to it, you'll be manufacturing vinegar using that same process.
Wow.
Vinegar is something that your body can easily metabolize. Alcohol, much less so. But anyway, in the cell that is fermenting instead of breathing, the output is lactic acid. And that's quite nasty, because lactic acid, you may remember, is the same substance.
We get that when we work out a lot.
That's right. Yeah, when your cell doesn't get enough oxygen, because you just can't breathe fast enough for the energy output that's required, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when you say you're running a 100-meter dash, you know, the sprinter, he does that in 10, 12 seconds. Well, you can do that just holding your breath, and you will notice that they actually don't breathe much. They just simply inhale, exhale before, and then maybe they take one or two breaths through the entire 100-meter race. But if they're running something longer, you know, like the 400 meters, a quarter mile, they can no longer do it on a single breath. They now have to breathe. And in the longer races, even more so, right? I mean, in the 400 meters, you can still run through the lactic buildup and just simply power through the pain, because it only takes something like 45 seconds. But if you're going to go into something longer, like a mile or two or 10, you now have to work with your ability to reduce and remove the lactic acid, because if you don't, you would simply have one massive cramp. In fact, I remember I was watching the Tour de France, you know, the bicycling race, and there the commentator was explaining that cyclists have to learn to manage oxygen and lactic acid balance. And they had this really cool graphic. They were showing heart rate, and they were showing breath rate, and they were showing the percentage of total energy output that this guy was using. And they had this yellow range and red range. So green, amber, and red. And the guy said, well, you can go into the red for a little while, but if you stay there too long, you're going to build up so much lactic acid that you actually have to get off the bike and allow your body to recover. So the true skill of the cyclist was to get into the amber and never get into the red. The point is that when a cancer is metastatic throughout the whole body and the person is really, really sick, there's so much lactic acid produced by the cancer that the whole body hurts the same way as it hurts when you're running past your ability to metabolize. That's why they give people the morphine injections to deal with the pain. Anyway, so absence of oxygen. Why is there absence of oxygen in the tissue? Because of the pH of the fluid. Because the oxygen carrying capacity of the fluid changes as it goes from mildly alkaline towards acidic. You know, your normal lymphatic fluid pH, it should be about 7.2, 7.3. By the time it gets down to 6.0, you have lost 94% of the oxygen carrying capacity.
Wow.
So you can still run. I mean, you can still move, but not much.
Yeah. And yeah, you're pretty well done, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, at 5.5, it's pretty certain that you're in massive cancer issues. 5.0, your bones are dissolving. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but terminal stage cancer people oftentimes start losing their spine, you know, their hips, the bones just start dissolving. They just disappear from the body. And the reason this happens is because the body is trying to buffer the acidity with the stored calcium. So you're taking the calcium out of the bones and putting it into the fluid so as to buffer the acidity that the cancer is producing. The cancer is now growing so fast, it's producing so much acidity that even all of your bones aren't sufficient to hold it in check. So the reversal of that, of course, is we need to get oxygen to flow through the lymphatic fluid. So I said, well, you have three possibilities, and you may as well do all three. Number one is you need to push oxygen. So we have stabilized oxygen.
Yeah.
We have hydrogen peroxide, and we have ozone. And we have this thing called MMS. I mean, we don't sell the MMS, but it's out there. People can get working with that. That's oxychlor or hydroxychlor. Anyway, anybody who wants to talk about that to us, they can call us later. So you can push oxygen to just try and inject oxygen into the tissue. But that really is not the solution because the body fluid is not able to carry much more oxygen as it is. So even though you're pushing it in, it will not necessarily get to the tissue, although it will buy you some time.
So it sounds a bit like a catch-22.
A bit, yeah. So the second thing that you can do is you can push alkalinity, like you can forcibly shove alkaline things at the body.
Mm.
And that the most easily available is sodium bicarbonate, baking soda.
So just drink baking soda?
Yes, baking soda shots. You can just take a teaspoon of baking soda in a small glass of water three times a day between meals. Don't take it just before a meal because it's going to neutralize your stomach acid, so you'll suffer from heartburn if you do that. However, the better way of doing it is to take alkalizing baths because, you know, the principle of osmosis works rather well. If your body is acidic on the inside and you put it into an alkaline bath, the membrane, which in this case is your skin, is somewhat permeable. It will allow for the osmotic pressure to balance, which means that the acidity will travel from inside your body out into the bathtub. So here comes the miracle two, detox soak. You know, a tablespoon of miracle two soap, 2 tablespoons of miracle two neutralizer, and if you really want to push it, add to it some baking soda.
Well, how about some magnesium salt?
Helpful, but not as effective. You know, magnesium, yes, yeah, you will absorb the magnesium as well, but what you really need to do is you need to have high pH. And magnesium chloride is not high pH, it's mild.
Okay. So a little of the Miracle 2 in the bath with you will...
go a long way.
Go a long way.
Yeah, so you want to use that... And, of course, you can demonstrate that to yourself, you know, if your body fluids are acidic, your athletic capacity isn't all that great. The way you would notice it is, for instance, in your ability to walk up stairs. You know, how many flights of stairs can you go up before you have to stop? People with very acidic fluids are out of breath very quickly because there's just no buffering capacity left.
Right.
So that, the deacidification of the body fluids, is a great tool. Works like a charm. Of course, yeah, we have already talked about, if you find yourself in a hole, please stop digging.
Yeah.
Well, what is the digging? How does one make the body fluids more acidic, right?
Yeah, drinking alcohol.
Yes, eating sugary things. The most acidifying things are sugar, coffee, cooked proteins. That means, and this is the weird thing, there's protein in wheat. It's called gluten. When you bake it or boil it, you have cooked it. So that means that bread, spaghetti, pizza, all of that, that's all cooked protein. And it will make you acidic. And so will, you know, cooked chicken, and so will cooked meat, you know, hamburger and that sort of thing. That's all acidity side.
So what you're really saying is eat more raw food.
Definitely, definitely, definitely. Eat raw salads, stir fries, slightly steamed or lightly steamed vegetables, you know, like carrots, onions, beans, broccoli, all of those sort of veggies that are actually starchy. They do really well either in a wok. They're best at the stage when they change from opaque to translucent. I mean, most obvious it is on things like carrots or onions. You know, onion changes from white to glassy, or carrot changes from red or orange opaque to this beautifully translucent looking thing. Do you do stir fries?
Yes, I do.
Do you relate to what I'm describing?
Oh, absolutely. And sometimes we'll steam the vegetables, so we're just going to light steaming.
Yeah.
And but a lot of times I have a little dip and we just eat them raw with just a little bit of ranch dressing.
Right on. Yeah, that's good. So so those are the strategies. One other acidifying concept is sleep deprivation and stress. Of course, when they tell you have cancer, you probably don't sleep as well and you probably feel stressed. Yeah, so, but there you go. So try and meditate and go relax. And when it comes to exercise, switch from long aerobic style exercising to interval training.
So aerobic is the one that makes you breathe heavy.
Aerobic is the one where you actually feel the burn.
Right.
When you feel the burn, you have lactic acid raging through your body.
So, yeah, so...
don't do it.
Spinning in the...
spin class, yeah. Yeah, bicycle, 3 hours at full speed, or running, you know, a marathon or whatever it is. What's really good is maximum load, limited reps. You know, like strength training, interval training exercise is actually good because it burns a lot of calories, but it does not build up a lot of lactic acid that you need to get rid of. So that's that. What else needs to be said about getting rid of cancer? Oh, yes. The last thing is you need to bring in nutrients. Nutrients that will help your cells kick up the apoptosis. Apoptosis is a system built into the cellular structures, and that is that whenever cell is sick, it tries to repair itself. If it arrives at too much damage, it actually pulls the ripcord and commits a suicide. It's supposed to do that. When a cell is too damaged beyond repair, it's supposed to shut down and be allowed to be recycled, and a healthy cell that was in that vicinity, in the neighborhood, is supposed to divide and create a new healthy one. And that process is called apoptosis. And there are some specific phytonutrients that support that. There, especially raspberry seed has been found to be very rich in allergic tannins, which then turn into allergic acid, which then stimulates this process. And there are other things, like raviola, something from South America that's well known for that. There's a combination of herbs known as Ediac, that include things like Turkish rhubarb and slippery elm and a few others. Red leaf clover, the leaf of raspberry. You know, there are a whole bunch of plants that have been identified to support this natural cellular signaling system. So sure enough, Exela has made a couple of products that are based on this system. So I immediately recommended to my friend that he get himself on it. So he said, well, how much money am I spending? And I said, well, you know, you need to prepare yourself for something like a 3 to 4 month run to make a difference. You can't just tickle it. You can't just say, well, I'll just get one bottle of this and I'll get better. So we set out a budget of about $1,000 and bought enough of the stuff to last about 3 or 4 months. And the expectation is that by the time he goes for his 90-day checkup, most of the markers will be back into normal.
Cool. That sounds like a plan that doesn't involve a whole bunch of chemotherapy.
For sure. For sure. Yeah, memory has me. You know, I remember this fellow, he actually died of prostate cancer some years ago at 65. And I knew him, he was in his 30s. And I remember we were working in the same office, and he would come in with eyes glazed over, you know, like watery eyes. And I was thinking, are you crying? No, my eyes just get watery. Years later, I read that that is actually a sign of acid alkali imbalance.
Oh.
So, you know, if I knew then what I know now, I would be telling him, listen, this is a sign of acid alkali imbalance. You should possibly do something about it, because if you don't, you will keep on getting more and more toxic, and at some point you will develop illnesses related to toxicity, cancer being one of them. Well, I lost touch with him. You know, we haven't really remained in contact. This was just a professional relationship. And But I heard later he passed on.
Wow.
And so the seeds of that illness were sown 20, 25 years earlier. The signs were already there. Similarly with this other friend whose sexual function went out the window, and it is related to the prostate function, and he just didn't really think much of it. Oh, well, I don't need it, I don't care. But in fact, it's something that kept on growing.
Right. So let's kind of tie this all together. If someone wants to wait until the doctor tells them they have prostate cancer, fine. But we could go and take some small, inexpensive steps and ensure that we don't have to even worry about that.
For sure. And the simplest, of course, we already identified. That's the iodine. That's the baseline. Second thing, of course, is acid-alkali balance. Third thing, the Exula products are great. We have one called Premium, which is a green food with some of the ellagic in it. So that would be for people who may have a mild concern that they want to take care of. They would be on Premium for ongoing. That would be a just basic supplement. Another sidebar here, sorry. People keep asking me, well, how long do I have to take it for? And the answer is for the rest of your life. Because the reason you're not right or not well is because you're missing the necessary ingredients. They are not in your food. And you have to eat them. If you don't have them, you're going to be sick. Anyway, so something like Premium would be a good prevention baseline. We have the Elagic Pure, which is a stronger, that's the core of our really strong product called Elagic Plex. You would want to have the Elagic Plex for an active concern. If you know that you have the markers showing that you have high cancer activity, you definitely want to take the Elagic Plex until it's all taken care of. And at that point, the Elagic Pure will make a very good preventive supplement.
Cool. Well, that seems like a good place to wind up this edition of the Life Enthusiast Co-op online radio show.
I think so. It's a sad kind of topic, but we need to talk about it, guys. If you have problems with your prostate, don't wait until it's really bad. I mean, that's a classic thing for men, right? We think, oh, no big deal. It's just a flesh wound. Or, I can manage. But really, it's not like that. It's a sign. It's a sign that something is out of balance, that you should actually contemplate what that means and perhaps reverse it. Not just put up with it, not just cope with it, but actually take care of it. So if you do have these concerns, go reading on Life Enthusiast website. Read about detoxification. Read about nutritional supplementation and pH balancing, all of these chapters in health education. They will explain to you how the body works and what you need to do to keep it healthy. And if even that's not clear, well then, call us. Call us at 1-866-543-3388 or go back to the website, www.life-enthusiast.com. We're trying to restore the vitality to you and to the planet.
And to your prostate.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll see you next time.